right, here we are. This is August the 24th, 2011. And this is Barbara Lee and Pete Wilson, and we're in the home of Mr. Leon Russell in Farmers Branch, and we're interviewing him for the Coppell Historical Society. And you jump in anytime you want. Mr. Russell, why don't you tell us when you were born and where?
I was born in Coppell, Texas on March 12th, 1919, in the middle of a cotton patch up there just about a block from down the old town Coppell. And my father was Robert E. Russell, my mother was Minnie Parrish Russell, and there were 9 children. I was number 7 in the lineup. Uh-huh. And I'm the last of the clan. And that's about, I moved from Coppell, started school in Coppell, left there in 1931, we moved to Carrollton. And I was in the 5th grade. I stayed at Carrollton 37 years, and moved to Farmers Branch, been here 37 years, and it's been 43 years at this place here, rather, 37 years and moving here. So Coppell, Carrollton, Farmers Branch has been my extent of my official address, but I went in the military in 1942 for almost 4 years. And
now tell us the place you were born. You say it was, help us locate where it was.
Okay. I don't know the name of those streets over there, but from, you know where the school is over there off Denton Tappan Beltline?
Uh-huh.
That's built in 1928.
Right.
I was in 3rd grade over there. I started the old school with an old school downtown. I can tell you where it is. We're going over later.
Yeah.
But I started there. Going there from there toward Coppell, going west.
Mm-hmm.
It crossed a little creek down there and made a curve by the depot.
Mm-hmm.
It did not go straight on. It went curved at the depot and went into town.
Right.
Right where the curve goes to Coppell, there used to be an old house. You still see evidence of it, I think, out there in the field, length of a football field, out to the left side, out in the middle of that field. That's where I was born, right there. About 2 lengths of a football field from the depot there, out to the south,
really?
Little southwest of it.
A little southwest of it. So, okay. So you were north of the railroad track.
No.
No?
I was south of the depot and south of the road that went from Beltline.
Oh,
it went around where it curved, you go to Coppell. Mm-hmm. If you turn to go to the left, the little lane go out there to the house where I was born at.
So he lived in the house for the peers.
There's no house out there.
Yeah, out in the field.
There's no house out there. You can tell where they'd been.
Yeah.
I've been over a long time, but mm-hmm. I know it looked one time. There was an old tree or something out there. There used to be a well there.
And you left Coppell in 1931?
Uh-huh.
Were you still living in that same house?
No. That was our first deal, and when I was about 4 years old, we moved down there. My grandfather was J.J. Parrish, and he owned the land in the southwest corner of Moore Road and Bethel School Road. Southwest, he owned all it. He owned that land from there to the railroad tracks
mm-hmm.
south of there. It
mm-hmm.
used to be an old school over there years ago.
Bethel School.
My
mm-hmm.
Clyde, one of my next oldest brother, went to school there. And Grandpa Parrish owned that. We moved down there when I was about 4. And then when I was about 10, we moved back toward Coppell, and I don't have to really describe to tell you on the house where the park is up there now.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a little road to come down to from the park, little lane come down there to Bethel School Road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a house, we were almost right over there. There's a house there now, it's a rock house.
Okay.
It's on the north side of Bethel School.
Come out now.
Yeah, the creek's right behind it there.
Yeah.
Well, wait, there was a different house there, but that was the third place we lived.
Now, you moved into that house in about what year?
Let me see. Rudy was born. I guess 4 or 5. Maybe 25.
1925.
Somewhere along there.
Somewhere along there. And the house, what kind of house was it?
Frame house.
Frame house. How many rooms?
I think it's about a 3-room house, the kitchen there, a little 4-room frame house. I remember it was an old barn out there in a cellar. We always went to the cellar at the time. The sky got cloudy. Mm-hmm. Either in 1927 or 1929, they had a huge hailstorm in this area. People might remember, it tore up cars, houses, cloth top cars, and just destroyed buildings downtown and all. And we were living there then, I remember. So that's about right, though. We lived there 3 or 4 years, and none of us, I don't think, had started to school then. I was up to school age. Then we moved over north of old downtown Coppell. We moved over northeast of Coppell. Where Sandy Lake gets to Coppell and turns to come in, the road used to fork, and the other one went to Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, between that road that went to Grapevine and one at Coppell, there's a house over there. It was called the White Place. After we lived over there, there used to be a water tower over there. But if you went up the old, from Coppell started toward Grapevine and go up there about where Benner's Warehouse is, there used to be a little lane that went through there and run into the north part over there. There was a road that come.
Ruby Road.
That'd be a short route.
Ruby Road and State Road.
Pardon?
Do you remember Ruby Road, State Road, Ruby Road?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But it was over there somewhere. Now, before you go on, tell us when you lived near you said your grandfather was J.J. Parrish.
Yes.
His name was James?
No, Joseph.
Joseph Parrish. Okay. Where was your house when you lived near him? On Moore Road?
We moved down there.
Yeah.
That was the second place, the first place I ever moved to. Mm-hmm. And he owned that land out. No, he lived in Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. He was blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lived by himself.
Yeah.
And could do anything. Could count money. I'll digress or get off into something else. But he run a Watkins route. He'd go out and trade like they used to do. Had one of his sons drove the mules, the horses for him. He'd trade, take eggs and chicken and for liniment and all that stuff. And then they'd go to Dallas Drive and spend the night in the wagon. And he'd refurnish all the stuff that he wanted to sell and sell the vegetables and all that he got. And totally blind. He was chopping wood and a piece of wood hit him in the eye. And back then they didn't know what to do. They didn't do anything. One eye went out and then the other went out. And he had 7 or 8 kids. I think that was only one of them he ever saw. That was my mother's father.
Yeah. So the house you lived in on his property, was it, do you think, on Moore Road or Bethel?
It was on Moore Road.
Moore Road?
Yeah.
Remember which side?
It was it's where I said a while ago, close to that Bethel school. And they never did know who that property was in. No one, there was no deed or anything else at that school for years. No one, they couldn't, anyone buy it or sell it or whatnot. I don't remember exactly. I know Ray Nunn finally built a house on it over there, right in the corner there. But back then, it was just old schoolhouses were deteriorating, were still there, an old frame schoolhouse.
Tell us what you remember that school and church looked like.
There wasn't a church there.
It wasn't there.
No.
When we were there.
I never heard anyone talk about a church being there.
You know, there's a cemetery behind it.
It was across the street.
across the street.
Oh, really? So the church, so the school was on which side, west or east of Moore?
The school was on the west side in the corner there.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
Moore Road.
And
Moore Road and Bethel
School.
Almost across, right up beside the road, across from the school was the cemetery.
So
now there's another. You're talking about another cemetery.
Yeah, you're talking about the old one that's back here.
You're talking about one on Grandpa's place up there.
Yeah.
When you're little, it seemed like it was miles, but now when you go back and look, it's a whole lot closer.
Yeah.
I used to take it a long way, but the cemetery on Grandpa's place. You know where Don Carter lived over there?
Mm-hmm.
In that area, right there, close to where
yeah.
they was,
yeah.
on top of the hill, there's a little hill.
But you don't remember two buildings. A church and a school.
Not on high. No, there was no building at all in the cemetery where you're mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a cemetery down there on Moore Road
right.
that you never hear anything about.
Mm-hmm.
It was right beside the house. The reason I remember that, there used to be a amateur baseball field out there. And on Sunday, these teams, Coppell had a team in Grapevine, and they played like they used to, nothing else to do on Sundays. They'd have a big ball game there in that pasture. It was right that close to the cemetery.
Really?
And it wasn't length of football field, but that's about how far it was from the road there, to where the cemetery was, next to the road there. I never heard it, I'm trying to think about, I saw a land grant descriptive of that property. My wife was heavy in genealogy. I wish you had the stuff that's jumped in here. Now, I mean, she says she had wound up having cancer for about 6 years, and she spent 40 hours a week in it for years after she went and traced. She'd go to Tennessee. She had some other relatives from Tennessee here on her line, their mother's line, and they trip to Tennessee and everywhere else gathering information. We went to Virginia and all, and everybody in this area came from Virginia or Tennessee, and mainly in through here. I didn't get into it, and I wish I had, because I could answer other questions. But I never remember seeing a church at all there and on the school, where the school was, I don't ever remember a church being there, and I never heard it mentioned.
Can you tell us your memory of what the school looked like?
No, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
You were
that.
Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was only about, I moved down when I was four, and I think I moved there when I was about six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
And just starting to go to school.
But you said you had an older brother who went to school at Bethel.
Yeah, Clyde. The oldest brother was Ernest.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Lee. He's the one that had the barbershop in Carrollton when he moved over here. And the second in line was Clyde Cornelius. Clyde retired and said he's gonna live to be 100, and he was 100 October or November, and he passed away in January here about 4 or 5 years ago. He made it to 100. He lived in Carrollton. All of us wound up in Carrollton. The girls didn't. They got with Ernest and Clyde and me and my one next to me, J.R., lived on Francis Street. And the younger one, after he graduated, he wound up working in California. And I was the youngest one. And they all gone. I'm it. I'm the last one.
Well, I used to get my hair cut at the Russell Barbershop when Floyd Harville died in Coppell. I went there.
From Ed?
I don't know. I just.
Where was the barbershop? Elder Square or around the corner?
No, it was down there where the A&P used to be, down next to Jersey Lane. Isn't that the Russell's Barbershop?
Oh, that was a lot later.
He probably didn't work there anymore.
Where was it? Josie Lane?
In Josie Lane and Beltline. It's still there. Still there.
On Josie?
Yeah. It's off of Josie a little bit. It's a shopping center.
there at the shopping center where the Auntie was. Remember? That was back in the
60s. It was there, I think.
60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
I can't.
Maybe I'm confusing the.
No, I'm trying.
I always
thought
that was Russell, but.
I don't. The only place that I can remember were. There were two down there on the square on the north side over there. Ernest was there before, the one that Russell, when he built that around there. He was in there, and there were two Russell barbershops. We weren't related. Roy Russell had one there right next to where the old bank, where there used to be the bank, the post office, the barbershop, grocery store, another barbershop, and another bank. And one time, there's two barbershops in the same little block over there, and both of them were Roy Russell on one and E.L. Russell on the other one, and we were not related.
And Mr. Russell, you say you went to Coppell School until what grade?
Till fifth grade. We left, we came here in January, midterm, in 1931. I was 11, and in March, we came here in January, but in March I was 12 years old.
So you started school at Coppell?
I started school at Coppell.
Coppell, first grade?
Yes.
Can you remember some of your teachers' names?
Yeah. Marie Smith was the first one. The redheaded lady that later married Marion Stark, that managed to run the A&P store up here on the square in Carrollton, was married to Marie way back early then. I don't remember exactly when. It wasn't at that time, but later they did marry. And she was the only one I had there. She taught every, in fact, at school, do you know where the old school, where it was? Set back in the dale out there. There was a Tabernacle Baptist Church, Tabernacle in the middle there, and then the Baptist Church was there. And the house, Aunt Jenny and Uncle John Kirkland lived in that house, I think it's it's a historical marker now.
Right.
They were distantly related to me. My dad, My sister was working for a dentist over in Oak Cliff one day. She said something about Stringfellow being one of her relatives. But one, he said, well, we are related. And he said, that few, you got few Stringfellows. And he looked up, and sure enough, she was way back.
Yeah.
But they were somewhere in the line. In fact, one of the boys, Hubert and then Strang, the second, three girls in there, gosh. One at Mary Harvey Brooks, she was my teacher.
Sally.
Sally was mean.
Sally was your Sally was your teacher too.
Sally, no, I tried. One of the guys was named Stringfellow, Kirkland.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think Miss Kirkland was a Stringfellow. My dad's mother was a Stringfellow back in from Tennessee. You know, they were distant relatives.
So Sally wasn't your teacher.
Who?
Sally.
Yes.
Well, she was your teacher.
Yes.
At the Coppell School.
Yeah.
I didn't know Sally taught.
I had her there and had, Marie Smith was at the old one. Now, Sally was over to the other one. Was my teacher for over there.
Okay.
At the one they built over on, what is that road called now?
Southwestern.
Over Southwestern. She was teaching there as principal when we moved to Carrollton.
Really?
In 1931. An Englishman had come in there. He and his wife, both named Fuller, had moved. They come in there, and he told us all we had to play soccer. I remember that in there. But I had Marie Smith, and I had a teacher in the third grade there, Ethel Hood, and I had Miss Fuller, Mr. Fuller, and Sally there, and the principal over in the old original school. The high school was upstairs, and all the rest of them went down in one room downstairs. The one I started to was all up through the sixth grade, or seventh, sixth, was in downstairs there in one room. That's where Marie Smith was the teacher. And the old principal, old teacher there was named Dorman, D-O-R-M-A, and I remember that. I know one of my sisters, I think two of them, maybe all three of them went to school there. I know Linda, because I saw a picture was that their girls' basketball team with those big bloomers that come down, they looked like, and had a picture of them, and Ethel, not Brian, not Ethel, but Brown, her name was Brown, and John Doe as well as mine. I'll say it later.
Now, when you went to Coppell School, besides your teachers, like how many people were in your class?
I don't think there was over 18 or no more than 20.
Yeah.
And they never, Coppell never did have a high school. Mm-hmm. The ones I went to school with up to the fifth grade, and I came to Carrollton. When I went into high school, they all, the same ones come over here and went to high school.
Right.
So I picked up.
Including Barbara.
Huh?
I went to high school in Carrollton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
Well, when did you go?
Well, in
1949. 49.
Uh-huh.
I went to the old school. And when we came to Carrollton, the old Carrollton school district was in the old red schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Right. And I went, that's on elementary through high school through seniors. And they built that new one there. And the first class that went into it entered there in 1936. I was in that class. We were the first seniors in there and graduated in 37 out of that DeWitt Perry school there on Beltline.
Yeah.
And that was a new school. And so.
Now, like, who were some of your friends in school when you were up to the fifth grade at Coppell?
Well, Newton Corbin. And Clyde Gentry. And, there wasn't many boys in the class there. And Willie B. Plumley was one of the girls. And, I don't know when Alice Lehman came in there. Lehman lived over, did you ever know where that name is? I was going to tell you, that's where we live over, where I was trying to tell you a while ago. That Lehman was, Mr. Lehman was a retired fireman, and they moved out there much later. We was living over north of Coppell, though. It wasn't, we moved on into Coppell before we moved to Carrollton. And for 2 or 3 years. But I can't think of, that covered a big area. They were people, it covered on up to Ward Grapevine, your country, the country farm and all. And some of them over on the road now that goes from, used to be Street Road. They just changed the name of it on Street Road over there. Mm-hmm. There was three or four. What? You know where Street Road, oh gosh, I'm going to tell you where. When you went Sandy Lake past Beltline on down where it turned to go into Coppell,
yeah.
Forked, mm-hmm. And you take the right turn. Well, it kind of made a little bend up there, and the road branched off and went north there. But a little bit further up, there, the road had turned back south.
Yes.
Well, that
State
road.
State Road. That's called State Road.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. one. Go down across the creek there, going south back toward Coppell, and there were two houses on the right-hand side. One was set on the top of the hill there, and then the next one is about a quarter of a mile on up there. The next one, that's where we lived. We lived on the right as a State Road coming back from Sweet Road.
So somewhere near what's now called Wagon Wheel Ranch.
I get that's called a white place. It was a big place. It was a big
There was a farm there called Lancaster Farm.
That was the same place, I'm sure, later. Later.
Yeah, that's where I think you're talking about.
Yeah. And it was one road, when you come past it, the road didn't go straight on across. It turned and come back over to the road that goes from Coppell. And when you turn and start back, the first house on the right was Keener's. It was K-W-N-E-R-S. And they lived on the right hand side. I don't think there was another house between there, on either side, between there and the road that goes from Coppell North. It was a long distance, and there wasn't any, over to the highway, there wasn't any houses at all.
Mr. Russell, do you what memories do you have of the old Coppell School, downtown.
Downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. I remember what it looked like. It had one long room from, you faced north and went back in that corner out there. And when you went in, it's the stairway was there. You went upstairs, and that's where, I don't think I ever went upstairs, but that's where the high school was, in that one room. And in our room, it was the far end of the school, the first grade started, and come up through the sixth or seventh grade, all just in line. And the teacher sat about the middle up there. Marie Smith's desk was about the middle of the deal up there. And it was just a rectangular frame building, wooden building.
Mm-hmm. And one teacher took care of all that?
Yeah.
My.
Now, tell me again, you went to school there for what? How long?
I don't exactly remember what grade I went from Coppell over to the new school over there. But I know I think I was over in the new school in the third grade.
Yeah. The new school was built in 28.
Pardon?
28.
Yeah.
And you started school what year?
I think 27.
You may have been in second or third grade.
I was in the third grade, I think, I was in there, and when the new one was built. Mm. But I didn't remember too much. I don't remember too much about that old group, but I remember over the new one. All right.
Do you remember the old building? Like, what were the windows like?
They just sashed old wood windows. You know, they didn't have springs in windows.
Uh-huh.
You know, they built a window, it was hollow in there, and it had a rope with a weight on it.
Right.
So long window weight. Used to be real common to see them. It looked like a brown, like a banana, and about a foot long, with a hole in them and a rope tied in it.
Uh-huh.
And they balanced, about sash balances, what they called them.
Yeah.
And it was in the wall, and when you raised the window up with the weights would hold it up, you know what I mean? They manipulated it.
And what, they were tall windows?
Oh, yeah, they look like they do now. Most of them about the same size as now.
Yeah.
I worked for a lumber yard for 40-something years, so the size of the windows was almost the same.
Yeah.
It'd be like a common size now, the 2.8 or 3.0. 32-inch or 36, that was when I quit working in 85 out of the lumber business, but I worked for Sam from Mort Carlton, put in one in 48, I think it was, and I went to work for down in January 49, worked for him for 24 years, Kenneth Moore.
Now, what else do you remember in the old downtown Coppell area? Stores, houses, buildings?
Okay. On the east end of going on what was his Bethel School, let me go over to Denton Tap and start. There was only one road. Didn't run like it does now. The Bethel School, I'm trying to remember more was even there, it was, but there was just a gravel road back then, and it came zigzagging. It'd go where Denton Tap is now. The road, it would turn to the right further over and go 200 yards. You go, it followed property lines, I think, then, instead of cutting through.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd go, come down there to where, on Denton Tap, it made a jog there. And then Walter Sweet lived in that corner there,
mm-hmm.
Walter and Miss Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on down toward another corner there and jogged. Plumley's lived in that corner there. And then coming on around the deal, Sisk lived there. And then that's all on the right-hand side. And you go on down to where the new Bethel Road comes through, the old Bethel School, and it intersected there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they bandaged that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a house there that Sam McDonald lived in.
McDowell.
What?
Wasn't that McDowell?
That's before McDowell's time. He died. Didn't. He worked with me up Sam's Moore. There drove a truck when I went to work for him in the 40s, 49. I worked for Ray. Ray is Ray McDowell, wasn't he? He's a boy. And, of course, my brothers, there were two of them, McDowells, Rufus and another one was Ray's dad. But they, Clyde and them were the same age as owned them, but it's quite a bit of difference in my age and oldest brother, and I was 7 down the line. And I think Ernest never did live at home, but after I was born, he was already up and gone.
Now, after you got, if you were on that road where the McDonald's, is that what you said, the McDowell's lived, and you went on to what's now Bethel, you turned right and went toward the old school. What, you're going west, what would you remember?
From down in the corner where now where Bethel School and
right.
New Bethel run together on that
right.
corner.
Right.
Well, McDowell's lived on the corner.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going, I'll go north first because it didn't go up there very far. There's three houses in there. I think it's Sisk lived in there. And then there was another house there that I don't know. And then Plumley's lived. I don't think there were but three houses.
Yeah.
Three houses there before it turned back
yeah.
and went by on up to what now is Denton's house in there. But going on toward west from McDonald's, there's that creek that used to come under. The creek used to, I don't think it, yeah. The creek used to come under the road there. It come down behind the house where we live because there was a line up there. Where McDonald's lived on the corner, then there's a little creek there, and we lived in the next house. I'm afraid there's a rock house there now.
Do you happen to remember when that rock house was built?
I do not. I don't.
We've been trying to.
I remember when it was built, but I don't have anything to tie it to. I can't tell you what year. I mean, I don't know of any.
Does the name Connaughton?
Yeah, the name is very familiar. I can't place it with the people. Was the name?
No,
I can't.
But they built. We think they built the house. That rock house was always called the Connaughton Castle. I think some people called it the Connaughton Castle.
Didn't somebody in the military own that? I'm pretty well sure now. I'm speculating on this, but. When I lived in Carrollton up there, before I moved down here, I lived on Denton Drive there, just off of Beltline downtown there. And the house next door to me, a lady lived in it, and her husband was career military. And I'm 99% sure they were the ones that she did live in a house they owned. I think she lived in a smaller house there. I never did know him anywhere very well, but. He was in, but I think it seemed to me like I was told that the person who built that house was retired out of the military. But I do not know, never was in it, and it was built long after the one that, the old frame house that was there when we lived in it.
Now, the frame house that you lived in, was it across the road?
It's the same place that rock house is. On the right hand side, going that way.
Yeah.
Right behind it was a. Right close behind it was the creek there. It come down and wound and went around and come back under down
right. yeah.
between there and the next house down on the corner. The creek come under and yeah. went over and run into the springs.
Grapevine Springs.
Well, we used to go, that was about this big, but we, and this deep, cold as ice. And out of that spring, the kids, when we was over, we'd get down there and go swimming in that, jump in that cold water, and gosh, it was cold. Yeah. There was a house up there right where Grapevine Springs was. There was a lane, a little old lane that did come up there onto those two houses only off of Bethel School. Come up there, there was a house on a pretty nice home there on the right hand side. The street stopped there, the road stopped. But then the driveway went out over there to another house. Well, I remember the name of the people that lived there were named Miller, and the people that lived in this bigger house, actually I had the property that went with it went all the way to the railroad tracks over there. But Driscoll's, D-R-I-S-K-O-L-L, lived in this other place. And there was two boys and a girl, and the oldest boy was named Homer. and the next one was named Roy. And then the girl that I graduated with, I can't write.
Let's make sure we understand where these houses were. If you were on Bethel School Road.
You were talking about this rock house here.
Yeah.
Walk up there from here to, say, like three houses here, that far down. There was still one on past that rock house. Little bitty house there.
Yeah.
Little two room.
But
on the right hand side.
On Park Lane.
On the right hand side.
The little road that went to Grapevine Springs.
What?
You see, I think what's throwing us off is the park, Grapevine Springs Park, was not there then, was it?
What? No park.
See,
oh,
there
that's
was.
1937.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You moved from Coppell in 31?
Yes.
See?
So before they built the park.
Before.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's,
it wasn't any entry over there off of coming in from the other side either.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was designated later. Sam Houston signed the treaty about her and about Springs.
Well, are you talking about that little road that goes south from Bethel School?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was a little private, wasn't a public road. I mean, it went from Bethel School up to Driscoll's place. It had a bunch of big old cedar trees around it and a big, nicer house. And then from it, it's kind of just a private driveway, one over to another house out there. I never was out there in it, and I know the people naming it was Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Homer and Roy, and gosh, what's her name? She was very, very, had very bad eyes, had to get down to read.
How do you think that relates to the old house that was in the corner there?
That may be what he's talking about.
So was this big house that you're talking about, was it on the right-hand side of the road?
When you get up there where the road ended, it was on the right-hand side, yeah.
On the right-hand side.
And on the left side, there was just a gate that went out to this other house out there. It was just set back.
Part
of the football field, but the creek down there went right toward it. Before it got to it, it curved. It went on around and come back under about the school over there.
Yeah, yeah. Were you ever down in there that eventually?
Oh yeah, we used to go from that creek down there was slate bottom.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't muddy, but slick as glass.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to tell this story. The McDonald's that lived, they were a bunch of them, 8 or 10 of the family. The cute McDonald and Sam and Jake and all of them lived around Coppell and all. I think the boys are cute. Gravel Hill over there. You know what they used to call it over that nursery is over out there past the dam. I think it's a nursery still up there on the right hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Out here at Carrollton going in
Sandy Lake Road.
McDonald's used to run a grocery store there for years and years. There's a grocery store on the right hand side there, a little set there. It's all developed in there now. But it's about where that street comes across from Beltline, comes through there and comes into Sandy Lake.
MacArthur.
Yeah. And a little bit back this side, there was a grocery store on the corner where the little road went down, dead ended down in the creek down there.
Mm-hmm.
And Prater's lived down in the other place.
You're the only person besides Jack Kirkland I've ever heard mention the Prater's. What do you remember about the Prater boys?
They were mean as hell.
Do you remember one of them jumping off the bridge?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Let me think quick. The oldest one was Walter.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was Robert. The next one was General.
General?
Yeah, after his name was General. And the little one, Andy. Now, there was a girl in there somewhere. Andy was the only one. Andy was younger than I am. Robert was the best one of the bunch. But there was two or three girls mixed in there. And one of the girls married. Can't tell you now. But Walter served some time for on sexual with one of his nieces or something there. And I got real embarrassed. And it's high school in the seventh grade. We were on a field trip, and they took us to the jail. And being going through there, looking at her, somebody said, "Hi, Leon." And it was Walter. And he embarrassed me with all her, you know, friends. All I didn't want to say. He was in there. He recognized me.
What jail was that?
Dallas County.
Now, where did the Praters live?
That road dead ended down there. It's right where MacArthur is now. It was back just about there. Well, what's the name of that nursery?
Bonhard.
Bonhard, that nursery.
Yeah. Not Bonhard.
If you go around from the dam.
Kinsley, there was a Kinsley, and there's Bonhard, and...
I'll tell you, when you cross the dam out there and make that first curve, you go up and then it makes another curve.
Uh-huh.
And go straight on then for a long way.
Well,
after that second curve, it's a nursery and they're still right down.
Yeah, on the right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right at the end of it there, it goes up a hill.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a hill. That's called Gravel Hill over there.
Oh, really?
They dug gravel out of there.
Yeah.
And that's where later, that little road right there beside of it, went north, just a lane. There wasn't traffic.
The Allen Road?
And that was Praters.
Do you remember a King Tut?
Who?
King Tut.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that where King Tut's store was, right there on the corner?
Let me think. I know who you're talking about, and I know where the house...
Sandy Lake Road.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
That road that went to the north used to be called Allen Road.
And well, that little grocery store there, that was called Gravel Hill.
Yeah.
And even up in later times, King Tut, that was just his nickname, really. I don't even know his direct name, but I'll go way back. Dickerson's, way back at Coppell, one of the stores there, when you're going, Bill, Dickerson run one of the biggest stores there.
Uh-huh.
And one of the oldest woman was Rena, and the next one was Faye, and the next one was Ruth. No, Bruce was young. Anyway, now Tut, and when he married a man named Ben Myers, and they run a store in Carrollton on the corner where the hardware was, and the bank was later. And they, when Ben, I guess, died, when he ended up with Tut, and they were cronies and buddies and partners over the years for a long time, and they were together out there. And they was, there's three of them in there. What's the other one's name? Ruth was got killed in a car wreck. And Winnie was married to my brother, Ernest Russell. It's the one that ended up with King Tut. Rena was married to my brother, the older than Winnie. But Rena was older than one, Dickerson. And they all the Dickersons built houses together out there. They were there up until... Well, they dug it out there now. I think I haven't gone right there much, but it looks like it was dug out and more houses built in there. But that little road there that you're talking about beside that store, the nursery is kind of sitting out low. Then it goes uphill a little bit, and then going up the hill, there's a little lane that went down there quite a ways down in there, and that's where the Praters live down there. And there were some relatives. A brother to the older man lived in Louisville, may still be in Louisville. They're relatives of this group. But all of them were, Walter was the one that, he broke his arm, didn't he? He dove off the bridge, hit a tree log into the creek out there. They bet him he wouldn't jump off the dam. Off the banister.
Well, always heard that he set himself on fire and jumped off the bridge.
Well, I think maybe he did. But he used to go around to the carnivals, and when they'd have his feel on, have somebody wrestle somebody out of the crowd, you know, drawing a crowd, he'd show up those cars and wrap them magpie dollars, you know what I mean? But they had a bad reputation, and they were physically rough and tough and mean. And down the line from Walter and Robert and General and Andy, General was in an argument with one of his brothers there and had a gun and stuck it up against his stomach and told him he'd shoot him, and he said, "You haven't got nerve," and he did. He killed him.
Killed his own brother?
Yeah. And that's been the time when I lived at Carrollton out there. And that hadn't been, it's been a long time ago. But it wasn't back in prehistoric times that that happened. Nothing that I know of ever, he was never penalized that I know of. And that little one used to, apparently when he was 14, 15 years old, and he let some of the adults hit, for nickel, I think, would hit him, you know, he'd stand there and let them hit him in the stomach as hard as they wanted to for a nickel. And he'd barely stand there. And so, but they were, if you come across anything about J.C. Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Sweet, his grandmother was a prater. So Jay was tough as hell, too. Jay was rough. See, Jay is my first cousin. Jay was my first cousin. You can publish this at, what's old Dale McCallum? Is that the name it?
Yeah.
He stole that unequivocally, if I could just have gone ahead and had the money and pushed it. J.C. left that money to me. I was the closest person to anybody in there, his age and all. But tell you, all our lives, he was 4 years older than I was the only person that would ever had a power of attorney for him until he died, and one was prepared. It was just before he died and showed that he had it. It didn't exist when he was living. He lost his mind when it was composed. And I had a power of attorney, and I was the executor for years. And when he died, a new will showed up and was gone. The will was filed and recorded before he was buried. That's how quick the guy got it down there. Yeah, they had perfect, had nothing, no more mistakes. They got rid of every scrap of paper out there, and when it went, it didn't ever go to trial, but we contested it and had a settlement. But they got rid of it. We never had anything we asked for, didn't have it. They never kept one scratch of paper to be submitted as proof of anything. They cleaned everything out. Mm-hmm. Not one item.
So how did Dale, how was he, we always heard that he was a nephew.
He was a nephew of Gene.
Of the wife?
Yeah.
Oh.
J.C. didn't even know him. Jay had a ring. Buddy, my brother, had some gold coins or something, and Jay, but J.C. told him, "I'll have a couple of rings made out of those coins," and he did. And he gave Buddy one. And Buddy went ahead and put it in his will. But then at the end there, Jay turned around and gave it away. Gave it to Dale McCallum and told me. I thought of something. The coin in there belonged to Jean's grandmother. And I thought her nephew, he's trying to do something in Florida, he didn't even know him, said I thought he'd really be surprised to get that present when I go. So he told me he always had a habit of doing his hands. Said, "Now it's not part of the deal." He meant the will. So this goes to him. And so when he died, then I found out that it had been another. And in corporation court, they asked him, how did that power of attorney show up? He dictated that power of attorney himself over the phone to his lawyer. And then took it to J.C., and Jay had lost his mind, was looted badly. And he took it to J.C., and all those papers signed in there, "Here's something you need to sign." He signed it. He asked him, "I heard the judge ask, did he read it?" "No." "Did you read it to him?" "Part of it." I guess all he said was sign it. That's the part he read to him. And so they had a, but that power of attorney ends when you die and the executor takes over. But I'd been the executor since way before his mother, Aunt Jules. I was her favorite relative. And before she died there, he had me in there, stood right out there and told me one night, explained to him, so he's drawing it up.
Jewel was J.C.'s mother?
Yeah, Jewel Sweet.
So
was Jewel Sweet Parrish.
Who was Ruby Sweet? Do you know a Ruby?
Yeah, wait, let me think how Ruby ties in. Ruby Sweet, Ruby Pruitt.
Yeah.
Ruby Pruitt was involved in the, she wasn't. She was J.C.'s aunt. Now, how could that come in? Ruby's name was Pruitt, married name. Her husband's name was Dave Pruitt. And I know she had the oldest one, she had two or three kids. The oldest one, Lucille, was a girl, of course. And then, I don't know, I can't remember the boy's name. He's younger, much younger down the line. Ruby and J.C. inherited, the two of them inherited all of Walter Freed's property out there when he died. DJ had that trailer deal out there now, and so they just started work on that, I heard. So in the,
oh, no, it's all cleared.
Yeah, I say they started it. I saw it. In fact, I get the advocate, Gene sent it to me, and I take it, and I may send it to Gail Parrish.
Oh, yeah.
See, Gail, you know Gail?
Yeah.
Well, he's by here last Friday. There was a funeral of some relative over wrestling last Saturday morning, and he called me and asked, could he stay here Friday night? I told him, yeah. So he came by and went to the on at 10 o'clock at over wrestling. Some woman, it was distant relative, one of those relatives in East Texas, I think, and he goes to the reunion every year. But he uses his, I told him my rates are cheaper, so he's a, He stays here a lot, used to, hadn't in the last year or so. But J.C. had dictated to me, and he told, everyone has somebody they confide in. I don't care who they, I saw that in the Army. There's no one a loner. They got somebody they'll talk to. And Jay, I was the one that he would talk to. And it scared him to death when he, to make a power of attorney. He couldn't hardly talk and tell me that I could do anything he could do, but don't do anything unless I told him. And I renewed CDs for him and collected over the bank, Grapevine, he had some over there. I'd go over and renew them and collect the interest and sign the deals and everything else for him. And he just, he had about six people, seven in it when I was executor.
Mr. Russell, you said that your mother was a parish?
Yes.
And your dad, did you know, when did your dad come to Coppell?
I think about 1902 or somewhere like that. Or,
and so your mother was already living there?
No.
No?
Yeah, I guess she was. Yeah.
Because she was one of the parishes. One of the parishes that were all over Coppell.
She was Joe Parrish's daughter. The one he lived on Moore Road over there. That parish homestead in there.
Right.
He had a land grant in there.
Yeah.
I think I had my wife being in genealogy, got a copy of that from Austin. And it's here somewhere. It looks like the size of a blueprint of the land and all. But I don't remember all of them. Cornelius and Dave and I and Bill and Jewel and Mom's older Jewel. That's six, and I didn't. Some of them were gone from not even around here when I time I got up in circulation there. But Gail's dad and Jewel. Her brothers, sisters.
And Gail's dad was Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
William D. William Denny. W.D. I got along real well until I stopped thinking about it. I don't guess anyone in the family. I was kind of everybody would talk about son. I was son until I was 21 years old. Son, buddy, and tutor. That was the three youngest of the nickname. But I had a lot of relatives I liked. Not only being a relative, someone I really liked. Bill was one of them. He was kind of rank. The parishes were all pretty darn rough. They were Irish, a lot of Irish in them. And they had tempers, and Bill did too, and liked a little, imbibe a little bit, and a little refreshment there was pretty regularly. But Jay was an unusual person, one only child. And of course his dad was Elsie Tweet. And I don't think Uncle Elsie was over 42. Seemed to me like he was 42 years old when he died, real early in life. I'm not sure about that.
Did you know Joe and Blanche Tweet?
They're grapevine.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you.
There's two, I knew, there was one of them that came to Carrollton that may have been, my memory's getting dear me now. There was one of the Tweets that was Carrollton there for a while in business, and I see me like he's owned the ice house and all or something back there at one time. And that might have been Joe. But there are some other Tweets in Grapevine that were, I think, brothers even to Walter Tweet. I mean, some of the older clan. And I don't know where they came in from.
I'm going to stop this for a minute, so don't talk about anything really.
With his knee and tore it up.
Who is that, Mr. Russell?
Bert?
Little Bert, But the son. Big Bert Parrish, one of Mom's brothers, no, his son.
Yeah.
And he, somewhere back, he was a rounder, too. I mean, just mischievous and all, wasn't anything illegal, but he just, would do anything, and back when he was still a teenager, I think, well, they bet him he wouldn't dive off a dive board into the gravel pits down there or something, and he did, and tore up a knee, and I believe he wouldn't, his dad got mad at him, he told him he had to not go in down there, and he didn't ever get it, go to the doctor and get it fixed, and he wound up being kind of crippled. He had bad. He had a little bit of a bad, he had a bad leg on him.
Yeah.
Did he wear a special shoe?
I don't remember.
No memory. Mr. Russell, tell us again, you were telling us about houses and people who lived along Bethel Road as you're going west toward the downtown area. What else do you remember?
From
the McDonald's or the...
Going from Denton Tap.
Yeah.
We were talking about the McDonald's down on the corner.
Right.
And then the next house up there where that rock house is.
Yeah.
And then right close by, right where that little lane went up to the park, there was a little bitty two-room house about the size of this part here. There, on the right-hand side, right where that lane comes out. Then there was a big skip in there, and there was a house up right at Cooper. Cooper's lived in. And the next house was Standifer's.
Yeah.
Standifer's. Mm-hmm. And then the next one was Coates, the mailman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if there's one another before you got to Aunt Nanny and Uncle Bill Strangfeld that had the store. Their house was on the right hand side. They had a nice house. The road that comes from the depot down there at town there, right on the right-hand corner of Bethel and that road, there was a garage there way back.
Yeah. Gentry.
Emmett Gentry, mm-hmm. Right. His son, Clyde, I started school with, I graduated with, was Clyde. There was a skip in between. Mm-hmm. And you turn the corner, and the first thing there was a bank. Way back there in 27, 28.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the guys put the antenna up out there for a little crystal set radio to listen to that Max Schmeling and and Dempsey Fight back there in 1927. And that one, it was at that bank, and the big store was right there was Uncle Bill Stringfellow's. And then I might have been a skip there. It was a skip. And the barber shop was there, and behind the barber shop was the water tower. Right. And then there's a little skip, and there's one more house there that Stringfellow's lived in at one time because they were the telephone operator. The Coffee switchboard was in that house there. And it's right there where they turned the corner, and on that corner was the service station.
So the barber, if you were at the barber shop and then kept going west.
Yes, the next street, it right there, that's almost on the corner.
Would turn left.
If you get to the barber shop,
yeah.
There's the one that goes north.
Yeah.
Over here is old Kirkland House.
Right.
You
right.
Could go from the barber shop, you could hit Kirkland House with a rock.
Right.
Got angry. And then beside the barber shop was a service station right on the corner there for years. And I think they had their garage onto it or later down the line. Mm-hmm. Then you turn the corner, and on right across over that corner there was the Methodist Church.
Yes.
And come in, Larry.
Hello.
Introduce yourself to Larry.
Larry Aldridge.
Pete Wilson. Pete Wilson and Barbara Lee.
Nice to know you.
Good to see you.
And there was the Baptist church right there on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big area in that little house that down there, it's gone a long time ago. My parents lived there before I was born.
That's
right. Little house down there right
the
next
creek?
To the, right there by the little creek. There was a bridge there from just right down the hill from the corner. A little creek, well, up that little creek there, but here's that house over there with a little house set there. About even with the old school, just about in that area. Now going up the hill, on the right hand side, there was an elderly lady named Miss Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And on the left hand side was Parr, P-H-A-R-R.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right hand side, the next one was Corbin,
mm-hmm.
Les Corbin. And then they had a long skip on the left, Corbin, and then a long skip. And the next one was Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Trucy and W. Willie B. and Trucy.
Yeah.
And Trucy turned out to be a barber with Irving, I know that. And there's skips in there. And then the next house on the right side was Simmons. And right about just as you passed Simmons' house was the road to turn left.
Mm-hmm.
It went around to where we lived.
Ruby Road.
It turned, went over, it did, went over and turned back and went north and went into Fort Sweet.
Right.
Made a circle.
Yeah.
So Simmons was there, and I think the first house after you turn left there and go, it was that Keener house I told you that we'd be on the left-hand side going west. And on around the curve, the next one was where we lived, and later on you said it was a estate, something, ranch or something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't much on the right-hand side there. Until you get down across the bridge. And Lehman's lived, that retired fireman from Dallas, and it lived in there. And just past that, there's a hill there. It was a hill. And a nice little white house up there on top of the hill. And people, Allen lived in it. And there wasn't anything else between there and the main Sandy Lake.
Yeah.
I think on Street Road, there in Tweed, it changed names there down at the bottom. I think we're driving.
Now, when you got to Tweed Road and you turned left.
That goes up to back where 121
was. Right. Was there anything, was up in there?
Yeah, back then when you turned left, it was only one house between there and what first went in there, 121. It was only one house quite a ways up there. And Stringfellow lived in it. Red is all I know, and they had one, I can't remember her name, her woman's name, had one son, W.D., had one son lived in it. That was the only one between there and 121, and just after you passed that house on the left-hand side was a house there that I do not remember it. I don't think I remember exactly what they looked like, but I don't think I'd ever think of the name, because they were Middle Eastern. Yankees. I mean, and they went to school over at the Coppell School, because they drove a buggy, and there was a girl and two boys, and they drove a buggy and tied the horse out and all over in the daytime, and sometimes they let me ride on it, sit in the back little rumble seat, right back end of that little buggy. It was a little two-seated buggy, but it had a little track where they feed the horse, really on the back part there, and sometimes they'd be nice enough. I was going 2 miles home, and they'd go right by. And sometimes they'd let me ride on the buggy.
Now, those people you're talking about, they lived in a house on the south side of Sweet before you got to 121?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where my parents moved.
Well, I think that house went with the property that went to 121. I think the property from 121 coming back to that house. I think I heard one time that C.W. Ramsey from Carrollton owned that. Judge Ramsey.
Now, Mr. Russell, let's try to put a year to that. About how old were you when you remember those houses over there on Fleet Road? Were you 8, 5?
Just when I got... I spent... J.W. Strangfeller was almost related in some manner, was real, real close. I spent the night with him, and I graduated from high school. I went to school with him. So those, they were in there. Well, I was going to Coppell School. It was before 31, and it was after, it was in the time of Coppell, 27, 28, 29, in that time.
Somewhere around the end of the 20s.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go back. Let's go back to old downtown Coppell.
Okay.
Let's say you're at the barber shop in the Kirkland House.
Yeah.
If you went west on Bethel.
Okay.
Instead of turning north and going that way.
Going toward Grapevine.
Right. What do you remember next?
When you pass the Kirkland House, there was a big area out there that had a church, a tabernacle. In the old school,
mm-hmm.
All of them set toward the back there. That was open land. Then down at the end of it down there, I mean, still next to the road, but kind of left that big area. Next to the road down there, there was a house built in there, and that later on down the line, and that ended up being the switchboard, I think, and Strangfellows.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Strangfellows lived in it, and they're the same one that later was over on Sweet Road over just before you get to 121, the last house over there. These people there had lived over there before or after, I don't know which. But then you go a little further, and there was a street that just turned in, went about dead ended up there. It's more like a private lane. There was a house on the corner, big house, two-story house type deal. And then it went about a short block, and there's one house sitting up there. And the last house up there, the one that lived in it, was named Woods. Lockett Woods was his man's name. And Herschel was the oldest boy name. I know a little girl, I can't remember her name. And I can't remember the younger boy.
So this house you're talking about that the Lockett lived in, was it west of, it was west going on toward Grapevine?
It set back. It wasn't up close as from downtown. It wasn't far from Kirkland House.
Yeah.
Across that bridge there where the old creek was.
Yeah.
And just a short distance there was a street. It went down there about a block.
Okay.
And it was down at the end of it.
I see.
And then next to the road, it was down here, but on the same side of that little street, that house on the corner up there, was moved in there. From somewhere, because it was had a lot of gingerbread trimmings and all in it, and they moved it.
Is that the one that had the telephone operator in it?
It was back, it was on the left side.
Oh, okay.
When the Kirkland House, the next house down there was the one that had the telephone operator
okay.
for I'm 99% sure on that. And
now, if you kept going west.
All right, on the.
On Bethel.
There wasn't much on the right hand side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from where that house on the corner, I told you it moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was a house for a mile and a half on the north side. You're all on the south.
Mm-hmm.
And the next, I'm going to go. When you go so far, going west, get up there so far, you even up at that place you're talking about over there. There used to be no cars didn't come through there, but we could walk through there. From out of state where I told you we lived,
mm-hmm.
over there,
mm-hmm.
they would, when you come from it and down and turn and come back, we're talking about walking where the Keeners lived. We could walk through there and come over to that road that we're talking about to go to Grapevine there,
mm-hmm.
but the cars didn't come through. Now from there, another quite a distance up there, where the hill first started, there's a big house, and the Cummings.
Yeah.
Cummings lived there. Cummings lived there.
Great big three. Was that a three-story house?
And then you go on, still going on towards where 121 later was in there, going down there a little further, and there was a lane that turned to the right and went down there, and there was a house there, and the Barthniks lived there.
Oh, really?
Barthnicht.
The two-story frame
yeah.
house? Yeah.
Now that was where 121 is today?
Well, I don't know about two-story. I don't remember that now. I can't vouch for that.
Before you get to one.
She lived there, all right. And going on west from that, there's only one road, one house then, between there and where 121 ended up. And you went on down that little creek crossed again there, in there. That, I guess it's still there. It went under. And just after you crossed it, there was a pretty nice big white house sitting there. And Clifford Thomas, he had the Lois was one of them, and she had older Mabel.
Little Mabel.
Mabel. And
now this would be west of where 121 is today?
No, it's this
no,
side.
It's
where the old 121 was,
yeah.
it would be before you get to it
before
going
that.
West.
Okay.
Now, and if you turn around and come back, I think that's the end of the airport land.
Yeah.
I drove over to Curiosity one time years ago to see where it stopped.
Yeah.
And it's the airport. But oh, they're coming back. There wasn't any houses near there. If you come down there a little ways, there was a road there. It turned south.
Uh-huh.
And if you went down that road south down there, the first house on the left-hand side was Perkle.
Mm-hmm.
She was a widow woman.
That's
and she had a widow woman, and her oldest daughter was named, I thought about it. She had Bill and Joe and
is that Annie? Anna? Annie?
Two girls, two boys. I spent many nights with them. Joe was a little bit older than I was, and Bill was quite a bit older.
Yeah.
Bill spent his working life up at, Joe did, at selling automobiles at Denton. And Bill stayed around Coppell, I think, or Grapevine. Ruth was the oldest Purple girl. Marinelle was the youngest one. Ruth, Bill, Joe, and Marinelle. Their dad got killed in a Model T car wreck. I didn't know him, but while they were there, I think he was in the cat in there, and the kids had a cat in the car, and something happened, and the cat was biting them and running. And he was driving the car. He had order and he ran off the ditch and turned over. He got killed. And so that was it. Coming back, how far down the line did I get to the where on their south side?
It
turned down that road. I think there's something still down there. I believe it's a few years ago I saw an old round metal Bill deal sitting out there. It was there when Perkins. I knew the history of it.
Bill Kirkland Did you know Bill Kirkland?
Oh, yeah.
Hubert's boy. They bought a house down there, and he raised chickens. And I think that round tin thing that you're talking about, he had his chicken feed in there.
Well, when I remember, I used to, we were going to that Coppell school over there, and Joe, we had to walk, there wasn't buses over there for us, you had to walk. And I went home with Joe a lot. Main thing they had, we were so dang poor that I'd go anywhere that had good food. And Joe got the chicken pox, and they sent him home from school. And I asked Ethel Hood if I could walk home with him. He shouldn't go by himself. I talked her into it. It's on a Friday. And when we got to Coppell, I said, don't you go in the house. You stay out here on the road. I'm going to go in and ask my uncle if I can go home with you. And I said, when you get Bill, his brother was already broke out of chicken pox. They didn't know. And I said, if I go home with you, I ought to have the chicken pox by Monday. And I'd stay up there a week. So I think we got home, and that night, all of us undressed, and I slept in the middle. They tried to give me sure I caught the chicken pox. And I haven't had the chicken pox to this day. That's the truth. I never touched them. But
you talked about the Stringfella boys a while ago. Stringfella? Did you know Florence? Stringfella?
No.
Or Edna Stringfella?
Yeah, Edna rang the bell. There was a Stringfella family over here. Frank was a good friend of mine now. But there's Frank and Buncombe Stringfella. And they lived here in Carrollton later on over the years.
Yeah.
But Frank was a year, like one day being a year older than I was. His birthday is March 13, mine March 12.
It's Edna.
I had to stretch his name. I can't place her, but
Florence was young.
She had a whole bunch of kids, didn't she?
Yeah. And she was quite a tomboy, and they all called her Tom. But they're both buried over there in that cemetery that you were talking about at Don Carter.
Oh, they
position.
Are.
Yeah. And this Edna was married my grandmother's brother, and those Stringfellas are married.
I remember the name, and I remember that there were a lot of kids in the family and all, and a bunch of hear things about them all, but I never did know them,
yeah,
really,
okay.
On it.
When you went on down Coppell Road, when you turned off of Sweet Road, and you went down,
That's right down by the old service station we were talking about a while ago. Is that right down the old Coppell?
No, going on further. You know where Sweet Road was?
Yeah.
And Coppell Road wound
that
around.
That was the fort.
The fort?
The fort.
Down after you pass the top, why do you come to Coppell and want to go straight line?
Yeah.
There was a stretch in there. It curved and there's a bridge down here. And it went up the hill, and then there was a road to turn north.
Yeah, toward Lucky Corner.
Okay, Lucky Corner. You know where I'm? It's right at where the Verizon came in and built the big six-story building that's there now.
I haven't been ever
oh,
been.
Oh, you haven't been over there? There
was a house on the corner that the Ratliffs lived in.
Yeah? Okay. Go on down past the Ratliffs.
The next house down there, the Colemans lived in.
Go around.
Tucker's over.
Tucker?
Tater Tucker, yeah.
You knew them?
Yeah, I knew a whole bunch.
Okay, at Tater Tucker's house.
Mike was one of the boys. I knew Mike real well. He just a little bit older than I was.
My uncle.
Mike, who is?
Was my uncle. If you're right there where their house was, that's where 121 comes
got,
in.
Yeah,
okay, just right across the road was this place that we always call Lucky Corner.
Yeah.
Did you know how Lucky Corner got its
name?
No,
I don't.
I just
see that road there. You could go to Louisville on it.
Yeah.
Because when we where I was born, Dad was a tenant farmer for McCorbin. Corbin owned the land, and we lived there. You know, you'd work it and then pay for it when they sold it, you know. And we took some time. The gin was close, but back then, if the price of cotton was worse enough, they'd take it to Louisville to the gin. And I've gone with him on the wagon and riding the wagon and take a load of cotton to Louisville when we went right by the Tucker House and crossed Denton Creek on that old bridge over with Banister, right up from Tucker there going to Louisville when I was very young.
Do you remember two gins in Coppell?
Two what?
Two cotton gins?
No.
No?
I don't believe it.
Do you remember any cotton gins?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Where was the one you remember?
Pardon?
Where was the one you remember?
Okay. You know where Binyard's warehouse is?
Yeah.
Right over up the road from it. They're on the same side.
Yeah. Okay.
Not very far at all. There's an old guy that lived right in that little shack, Stoney Kirby. You know, there was a little backside of a boxcar there. The scale weighed where they turned in the way, but there's a little building out there. He lived there, an old bachelor at all, and for years and years and years, Stoney, there.
My uncle, who grew up, who lived in Coppell for a while, talks about Stoney Kirby.
Yeah. Well, My dad and Clyde during cotton season, both of them worked there at different rates every year. They looked forward to it. So I can tell you dang near every name up there. There was I was going to tell a story about the guy that worked in the office out there and later lived at Louisville when I knew him. And Cunningham worked in there and each year. And Stoney just lived there. But half of the Bert Parrish worked in the gin out there, and Clyde worked there, and Dad worked there. Dad run the suction. Bert was back there to tie it out, put the bands around the cotton, and, you know, when they bailed him, it took him out there. And I can't think of who. Wasn't too many more that worked there, but they always looked forward to the seed because it had extra money for the year there. And Dad would let me get out in the wagon and take that suction and cook the cotton up and dug it up in the gin.
What did the gin, was it metal, wooden? You remember? What did it look like?
Oh, it looked like a big old, like they do, almost like they do down from the outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. They had loaded and it had the stands in there where it went down and separated, come down, it picked it all, and it covered, it was a big, big building there.
But was it metal or was it wood?
It's just a regular, had a lot of metal and a lot of wood, but it was just a building built to kind of fit the where the cotton went in one end and come out the other in bales.
Yeah.
But from the outside, it was much higher, because I remember where the bales out on the outside, when they finished up and Bert took that, they let the compression off and it rolled out, and it was, the porch back there was about 4 or 5 feet above the ground, so it was built up like that, and outside looking at it, it was higher than a normal building. I think they had that something to do with the cotton going in and going up through and going through what they call the sand. It separated up there, got the trash out of it, and did a lot of things to it, getting it ready to take the lint off the seed. And the seed went out one deal, and the cotton come off another. And they'd sell seed. The gin would use to take the seed from you and for helping pay for gin and all, because the customer didn't need either one, really. And, you know, they'd buy it from you. A lot of people would keep the bale for a while to for the price of it, because it might be up temporarily up or down in there. But that was a big thing over to the gin.
Do you remember the old drugstore that was on the corner across the street from the bank?
Aunt Minnie McGee's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it was around the corner.
Yeah, it's around the corner from the bank.
It's across the street from
Jen.
It's across the street. On the corner, you're talking about.
Oh, that's right.
On the corner, the building there faced east. It didn't face.
Right.
And the service, the garage was over there.
Uh-huh.
The next day, that was an old rooming house there on the corner. Irish Hearst and all had a grocery store there for years underneath. Not much to it. She didn't, but she had run the grocery store.
What was her name? Irish?
Hearst, H-U-R-S-T. Miss Myrtle, she had a daughter, Myrtle Irish Hearst. Was her daughter that married Speck Moore. Speck, he delivered the Herald out there. And, no, yes, he did. He married Speck Moore, and then I think they divorced. And she married John Silk, who had, Daniel Hines had Silk's service station and feed store down here, between here and the circle on the right inside down there. But that building faced the garage. Then between it and the drugstore, there was an opening there. People would cut through coming up. They'd go behind this deal and cut through there instead of going around. And so there was a banking space in there. And then the drugstore was there, Minnie McGee. And then next to it was a house facing it where Harvey Brooks and Kirsten, the teacher, Sally. Sally and Harvey lived there next to the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Eventually. Now, Mr., I know just from a personal standpoint, the service station on the corner,
mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the next thing to the south of the service station on that side of the road?
Well, the house, there's two houses there. The first one I can't.
Was it a small house or
Yeah, a small kind of shotgun type kind of wall.
Could that have been Dickerson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured.
And then it was the Plumley house.
Then the Plumley house. Then a long scale.
Yeah.
And the next one was Gentry.
Ernest Gentry. Yeah.
Emmett run the garage. Had the garage. Ernest had a son named, well, a daughter named Laureen.
Yeah.
And a son named Ellsworth.
Yeah.
And I think there was another one in the family maybe there. Ellsworth worked for milk delivery, Borden Milk or somebody all of his life. Ellsworth was 1 year older than me, so I was in school with him nearly all the way through. He and Newton Corbin were cousins. Ellsworth.
Yeah, their mothers were sisters.
Well, I just knew they were cousins. We used to,
you mentioned the Dickersons ran one of the stores. In Coppell?
Yes.
Was that the same Dickerson that lived in that house?
Yeah.
Describe that. The reason I'm asking this is because my family in the late 40s bought that property. My mother still lives where the service station was.
Huh.
Okay. The Dickerson house, what did it look like?
It wasn't looked like a residence, no. It was more of a, looked like the end of the house, kind of, as well as I remember. It was longer going back in there than it was width.
Right.
And the Plumley house was more of a regular
house. Which way did it face?
It's supposed to have faced the drugstore. It's supposed to be faced west.
West.
But it didn't have much of a, like I said, it seemed to me like it, I remember that I remember eating there when the Dickerson. See, I said E.L. Ernest married Rena Dickerson, the oldest Dickerson woman, and they had three kids, and one of the kids he had was Ed. My brother Ernest, it was Barbara up here, his first marriage was to Rena Dickerson, and they had three children. Richard, who was the fire chief at Richardson for years, he's dead now. Juanita is still alive. I haven't seen her in years. Ed's son, Ed, that runs the barbershop now. There's Big Ed and Little, and the one that runs it now, and Juanita, Richard, Juanita, and Ed, in that order. The three that they have, and Ed's now the grandson runs a store, runs a barbershop, and he told me, I asked him the other day about Juanita, if she's in some kind of nursing home in Garland over there. She was ill, but the Ed died, and Richard did, and she's still, Juanita was second, she's still alive. But she, if for any reason you needed to contact her on anything, go to Ed's Clip Joint, the barbershop there at Carrollton, and ask for Ed.
Do you know where the barbershop is he's talking about then?
Well, you know where the street comes from, old Baptist Church there down at the bottom of the hill where the, okay, Pastor, just past that street for town. You just go past it and then turn in there and turn right inside this little shopping, little strip center there. There's a chiropractic office. And he's right in the middle there. It says Ed's Clip Joint.
Uh-huh.
And Jay, I was trying to think, there's a black woman that works in there, and Grimes, what's his hurt? I know him, well, he's worked part-time, he's ill. Well, in fact, I think he's confined now, getting well if he can't barber. And I don't know what Bill's name, the other barber. I go up there and get a haircut every couple of months.
Do you want to ask him anything about that prior to?
That's who he was talking about.
Mr. Russell, we're going to have to cut this off. Is there anything else, I guess, that you can remember that you ought to tell us about Coppell? I mean, do you remember movie theaters?
Remember movie theater?
No, in Coppell.
I can't think of anything. No, I don't know of anything unusual or anything that's happened over there.
What about churches?
Well, they had three churches over, you know, had the Baptist and Methodist and two, I guess. The one on the corner there, right by the Kirk, both of them within Kirkland distance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, is there anything else you can think of we should ask you?
I can't think of anything else.
You've been wonderful to tell us all this stuff. You know what we're going to do with this recording?
Yeah.
We're going to put it into our collection of the Coppell Historical Society so that people can listen to it in the future and figure out history and things like that.
My wife took a recorder to Bert Parrish over. Bert had a good memory and knew everything. And he recorded somewhere here. She had a fantastic, when you cut that off, I'll tell you this, because this is personal statement.
I'm going to cut it off, okay?
And,